Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Devim
Tito Jayam Udiriyat Nashta Prayesha Padishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamashoke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtiki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter, Krishna is the source of all incarnations, verses 1 to 18. Sita uvacha jagrihe parusham rupam bhagavan maharadivi sambhutam shara shakalam adalokashishikshaya. Sita said, in the beginning of the creation, the Lord first expanded himself in the universal form of the Purusha incarnation and manifested all the ingredients for the material creation. And thus at first there was the creation of the 16 principles of material action. This was for the purpose of creating material universe.
Mukam karoti vachalam bangam langhayate girim yakibam damaham vande shigurum dinatavinam om agyana tibrandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshir meditam yena tasmai shigurave namaha.
Sutta has explained in various ways the purpose of life is to please Lord Krishna. We heard Vasudeva Paraveda. Goal of the Vedas is Krishna, Vasudev, Vasudeva Prakriya, one in the Varnashram, should please Krishna, Sangsidir Haritoshanam. Please him, please Krishna by his work, actually. And the Jnani should please Krishna by his use of his knowledge. The yogi should meet Krishna in the heart by practice of yoga. Religion is to develop love for Krishna. What verse was that? To develop love for Krishna. Bhakti Savaipungsam Paro Dharmo, yes. So how to practically achieve this love for Krishna? That is described by serving the pure devotees. Shushusho Shadadanasya. Because the devotees carry Krishna in their hearts. So if you serve them, then you may get the mercy of Krishna, which they are carrying. And you'll get eagerness to hear, ruchi, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. And this sincere desire to hear will lead us to perform bhajana kriya or bhakti yoga in their association, shinvatam sakata Krishna. And by gradually chanting and hearing, the Lord in the heart becomes pleased. He throws out all our material desires and he unties the knot of ahankara in our heart. He switches on the light of knowledge and then we can see Krishna and we can uncover our relationship with him and begin to engage in our real relationship with Krishna. In the last chapter, 4 out of the 6 questions of the sages have been answered. First 2 questions, what is the essence of the scriptures and what is the best thing for people in general? Jai Mahaman Prabhu. After a long absence. So the first 2 questions are answered in verses 6 and 7, the second chapter, Savaipungsam Paro Dharmo Vasudeva Bhagavati. Pure devotional service. This is the answer. This is the essence of all scriptures, and it is the highest good for all humanity. The third question, why does Krishna come? That is answered in the last verse, that he comes to create a desire in us to go back to Godhead. And the fourth question about the Purusha avatars is answered in the last 5 verses of chapter 2. So here, now the next question, the 5th question, was to describe the Leela incarnations. So this question will be answered in this chapter, the 5th question. And the 6th question will be answered at the end. Why? Where can we find shelter now Krishna has left for his own abode? So now in the first verse, we are hearing the expansion of the Lord into a universal form. We'll hear about this expansion in the next few verses. Jagrihe Purusham Rupam. Again, this is a form of a person. The creation does not come from the impersonal Brahman, but it comes from a person. Life comes from life, as Srila Prabhupada used to say. Verse 2. Yasyam basi shayanasya yoga nidram vitanvata nabiharam bujarasya brahma visvasisam pati. A part of the Purusha lies down within the water, the universe, from the navel lake of his body sprouts a lotus stem, and from the lotus flower atop this stem, Brahma, the master of all engineers in the universe, becomes manifest. Verse 3. Yasya vayavasangstanai kalpita lokavistara tadvai bhagavato rupam vishuram satvam arjitam. It is believed that all the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive body of the Purusha, but he has nothing to do with the created material ingredients. His body is eternally in spiritual existence, par excellence. According to the third canto, chapter 7, the conception of Vishwarupa is an expansion from Kshirakshai Vishnu. This is third canto, chapter 7. I don't have the exact verse, but it's an expansion of Kshirakshai Vishnu, Vishwarupa. Now, in the sixth canto, eighth chapter, there are a series of mantras which are used to worship various incarnations of Lord Krishna. It is called Narayana Kavacha Stotra, Narayana Kavacha. And these mantras show us our relationship with these different avatars, with these different incarnations, how we can actually relate to them even today. So I'll be reciting at the end of each of these incarnations, I will recite the verse which is appropriate to that incarnation, so you can understand exactly how you can pray to these different forms of the Lord. Yes, Prabhu. This is 6th canto, chapter 8. I don't have all the exact verses, but if you just look up that chapter, then you'll find it. So it's all taken from 6th canto, chapter 8. Whenever I mention Narayana Kavacha, it's all from that chapter. So, interestingly enough, there is a prayer to the Vishwarupa, which we can pray. And it goes like this. Since the gigantic form of the Lord, Vishwarupa, conquers the three worlds, may he protect me in the sky. So, whenever you're flying in an airplane, you can pray to Vishwarupa for protection. And this also indicates that they used to fly many millions of years ago. It's not a new invention. Of course, maybe they didn't use airplanes. Could be the yogis. But also, they did have airplanes in the previous times. At least the demigods had airplanes. So verse 4, again, Vishwarupa. Pashyantyadarupamadatvachakshusha sahasapadarupajananadputam sahasamurdashavanakshinaskam sahasamayambarakundalolasat. The devotees, with their perfect eyes, see the transcendental form of the Purusha, who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms, and faces, all extraordinary. In that body, there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes, and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and adorned with garlands. So at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, only with patience and perseverance can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the absolute truth and his different forms. He is formless to the neophytes, but he is transcendental form to the expert servitors. So it's kind of ironic that the universal form is meant for the impersonalist, but only the devotees can see it. So even they have to become devotee to actually see it. They can imagine it. It can be imagined in their mind, but unless they become devotees, like Arjuna, they won't be able to see universal form. Verse 5. Etananavataranam nitanam bijam avyayam yasyang shangshen shijante devatiryang nararaya. This form, the second manifestation of the Purusha, is a source and indestructible seed of multifarious incarnations within the universe. From the particles and portions of this form, different living entities, like demigods, men, and others, are created. So again, we have here it says the second manifestation. Everything's coming from the second manifestation. And also, but according to Bhagavatam, again, third canto, seventh chapter, that the incarnations are coming from Kshirakshai Vishnu, but there's no contradiction because they're none different anyway. Three Purushas. And according to Burijan Prabhu, also Kshirakshai Vishnu is the source of all incarnations. And the purpose why the sages asked to hear about the incarnations was so that just to explain Bhagavan, that how Krishna is actually the source of all these incarnations. So now we'll start with the first in the list, four Kumaras. Seva patamam deva kumaram sagamashita chicharadushcharam brahma brahmacharyam akanditam. First of all, in the beginning of creation, there were the four unmarried sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, who, being situated in a vow of celibacy, underwent severe austerities for realization of the absolute truth. Four Kumaras appear in the third canto, in the beginning of Brahma's creation. The first thing that Brahma created were the five nascent principles, darkness of ignorance, andatamishra, anger, all these different things he created right first in the beginning. So he wasn't very happy with this creation. So therefore he created the four Kumaras, who were representing four principles of knowledge. These four principles, can anybody tell me? These four principles of knowledge, or even one of them. Yes, Brahmanidhi. What is that? Vedas. Well, actually we want principles, not exact books. Aripurusham? Yeah, oh, you got all of them, okay. What's that? Tapasya, yes? No, jnana. Vairagya and tapasya. Sankhya and yoga. Sankhya, yoga, vairagya and tapasya. These are the four principles of knowledge. Normally we would think, because jnana and vairagya are always together. But here it's sankhya, yoga, vairagya and tapasya. So these are the four kumaras. And we will hear in the third canto of their transformation, how they got a change of heart when they smelled the tulsi leaves decorating the lotus feet of the Lord. They appear in fourth canto again to enlighten King Prithu. Narayana Kavacha says, praise to the four Kumaras. May Sanat Kumara protect me from lusty desires. So the original Brahmachari, Sanat Kumara, protects us from lusty desires. Verse 7, Varaha. Dvitiyam tu bhavayasya rasatala katam mahim utarishanupadatta gesha sokaram vapu. The supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices accepted the incarnation of a boar, the second incarnation, and for the welfare of the earth, he lifted the earth from the nether regions of the universe. Varaha appears in the third canto. And Brahma was stumped. He was in the middle of his creation, or beginning of his creation, and he had no place to put the living entities. The earth had fallen to the bottom of the ocean. So then Varaha appeared from his nostril to deliver the earth, Prabhupada says here, from Pluto's regions of filthy matter. Prabhupada says, picking up something from a filthy place is done by a boar, and the all-powerful personality of Godhead displayed this wonder to the asuras who had hidden the earth in such a filthy place. They, of course, they might have been thinking, well, these great sages are not going to come down here and take it from here. So therefore the Lord appeared as a boar. We see in, and Prabhupada says, there is nothing impossible for the personality of Godhead. Although he played the part of a boar, by the devotees, he is worshipped, staying always in transcendence. So when Krishna comes as a boar, then he's worshipped. Here in Vrindavan, if you see the hogs and you want to get out of the way, if a hog starts coming towards you, you don't want to be touched by the hog. Especially if he starts, you know, after he's had a bath in the gutter and he starts shaking his body, you don't want to be anywhere near. But here, Varaha did the same thing. He had a bath in the Pluto's region of filthy matter and he started shaking. And all the sages, when they got the water from his hairs, they were saying, oh, wow, we become purified. They're the residents of the highest planets. But when they got the water from Varaha's body, like Charinamrita, they said, oh, this is great. Now we're purified. So this is a difference. When Krishna comes as a boar, then we get purified. So Narayana Kavacha says, in his incarnation as Lord Boar, he raised the planet Earth from the water at the bottom of the universe and kept it on his pointed tusks. May that Lord protect me from rogues on the street. So nowadays, this is a big problem. You may be attacked on the street. anywhere in the world. It's not safe to walk. So in such a situation, you may pray to Lord Varaha for protection. He will protect you. Verse 8. Tityam mishisargam vaidivashitvam upetyasa tantram satama chasta naishkamyam karmanam yataha. In the millennium of the Rishis, personality of Godhead accepted the third empowered incarnation in the form of Devarshi Narada, who is a great sage among the demigods. He collected expositions of the Vedas which deal with devotional service and which inspire non-fruitive action. So Narada is very important. He is our guru. He is in our line of the disciplic succession. He appears in the first canto to deliver Vyasadeva from his great depression, despondency. And he appears in the second canto as a disciple of his father, Lord Brahma, and he receives Chatushloki. In the fourth canto, he starts preaching. He preaches to Dhruva, the yoga system, and he preaches to King Prachanabahishat to give up his fruitive activity in favor of devotional service. In the sixth canto, he gets in trouble by preaching to Daksha's thousands of sons, and he gets cursed not to stay in one place for more than 3 days. And then, in the seventh canto, he preaches to Prahlad in the womb of his mother. In the tenth canto, he comes and he creates doubts in the mind of Kamsa about Krishna's incarnation. Then he becomes astonished when he visits Lord Krishna in his 16,000 palaces. So Narada Muni is traveling throughout the Bhagavatam. We'll see him. We'll keep meeting him here and there throughout the Bhagavatam. So it's very, very wonderful incarnation. Here in this verse, he's especially praised for his contribution of Vaishnava tantras and naishkarmya. Prabhupada explained in a lecture, the word tantra means an expansion of knowledge. Just like sutra means a contraction, concise. You're making it very concise. A tantra is an expansion of knowledge. So Narada Muni, he expanded the pancharatras describing devotional service. So he expanded because in this age we cannot follow the Vedas. So therefore we have the pancharatras. Narayana Kavacha says, may Devarshi Narada protect me from committing offenses in worshipping the deity. So anybody who is a pujari or who worships deities may pray to Narada Muni for protection from committing offenses. Verse 9. Turye dharma kala sarge narayana vishi bhutvatmo pashamo petam makaro discharam tapa. In the fourth incarnation, the Lord became Nara and Narayana, the twin sons of the wife of King Dharma. Thus he undertook severe and exemplary penances to control the senses. Nara and Narayana Rishi appear in fourth canto. In fourth canto, first chapter, 60th verse, it talks about Narayana Rishi, who is a partial expansion of Krishna, has now appeared in the dynasties of Yadu and Kuru in the forms of Krishna and Arjuna, respectively, to mitigate the burden of the world. So Narayana in their original forms appear in the 10th canto as Krishna and Arjuna. So Narayana Rishi in the 11th canto, we hear how Indra tried to allure Narayana Rishi from their austerities, and they were defeated. Indra was defeated by Narayana Rishi. In the 12th canto, Narayana appeared to Markandeya Rishi to give him blessings. And every day we sing Narayanam Namaskritya Narang Chaiva Narottamam. We sing prayers to them every day before reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayana Kavacha says, may Lord Narayana protect me from unnecessarily following false religious systems and falling from my duties due to madness. So this is the protection of Narayana Rishi. May the Lord in his appearance as Nara protect me from unnecessary pride. So these are the protections we can get from Narayana Rishis. Then the fifth incarnation. Panchamo kapilo nama sate shakala viputam povacha surya sankyam tatagrama vinirnayam. The fifth incarnation, named Lord Kapila, is foremost among perfected beings. He gave an exposition of creative elements and metaphysics to Asri Brahmana, for in course of time this knowledge had been lost. The Kapila appears at the end of the third canto to deliver Devahuti by giving knowledge of Sankhya philosophy. And she accepts him as her transcendental eye. And she also accepts him as the axe to cut down her material miseries. So Narayana Kavacha prays to Kapila. May Lord Kapila, the master of all good qualities, protect me from material bondage of fruitive activities. So verse 11, Dattatreya. Sastamate apatyatam vitta prapta nasuyaya anvikshikamalakaya pralada dipya uchivan. The sixth incarnation of the Purusha was the son of the sage Atri. He was born from the womb of Anasuya, who prayed for an incarnation. He spoke on the subject of transcendence to Alarka, Prahlada, and others, Yadu, Hahaya, etc. Dattatreya appears in the fourth canto. He's born, actually, that's the description of his birth, when Atri is worshipping the Supreme, but he's not sure exactly who is the Supreme. It could be Brahma, Vishnu, or Shiva, because they're the controllers of this universe. So therefore, because he wasn't very specific, all three of them come and offer to appear as his son. So Vishnu appeared as Dattatreya. Dattatreya also appears in the 11th canto in the form of an avadut Brahman who taught King Yadu about detachment simply by observing the creation in the form of 24 gurus. This is Dattatreya. Narayana Kavacha says, may Lord Dattatreya, the master of all mystic power, protect me from falling while performing bhakti yoga. So here we have two, Dattatreya and Kapila. Dattatreya and Naranarayana, who will protect us from falling. Falling due to pride, due to madness, due to just any kind of falling. Yes. 24 gurus, yes. This is 11th canto. And this was taught by Dattatreya in the form of an avaduta Brahman, 11th canto. Verse 12, Yagya. Tatta saptama akutyam ruche yagya bhajayata sayamadhyay suraganairapatsayam puvantaram. The seventh incarnation was Yagya, the son of Prajapati Ruchi and his wife Akuti. He controlled the period during the change of the Swayambhuva Manu and was assisted by demigods such as his son, Yama. So this is the incarnation of Yagya. We don't have so much information about him. But there is a comment here. In the purport, it is described that the post of the demigods are offered to highly elevated, pious living beings. So sometimes the post is empty. There's no one qualified. So then Vishnu takes the post. So in this case, he took the post of Indra, I believe. Yes, he took the post of Indra. There is no one who could become Indra, so then the Lord himself became Indra at this time. So one time, there's a nice story about Prabhupada. One time, Srila Prabhupada's GBC man for India requested permission to give up his post and go to America to preach. So Prabhupada approved of the preaching spirit, but privately he added, he said, he can go and preach, but I have to stay and manage India. So it's true that at one point Prabhupada was our GBC here in India because no one could handle it. It was very rough, very rough. No one wanted to be GBC of India. It was a very, very difficult time. And Prabhupada was, not only he was GBC, he was like the temple president. He was like, he would come to the temple and he would just see, he would look at the accounts, he would look at what we were doing, and he would just dive in and tell us. He would just become the treasurer or the temple president or anything like that. I remember, I wasn't here, in Vrindavan, he made a system, a very difficult system, that any time you wanted to sign a check, you had to send the check first to Delhi. Tejas had to sign. And then he would send it back to Vrindavan, and then they could get the money. So very difficult system. We think it's difficult now, but just imagine. When Prabhupada was here, it was very difficult. So the point is that sometimes we think that a manager is something less than a preacher, but actually, manager is very important. We just like we need demigods to run the universe, so we need managers also to run the temples and run ISKCON. So this time, even Vishnu, he took the post, and sometimes Prabhupada took the post of managing. And I remember, another time, one of the GBC, one person's, no one wanted to be GBC, so someone volunteered, then he lasted only a month. And then Prabhupada had to be GBC. And so it's Prabhupada's work, but we're doing it for him, everything in this movement. Narayana Kavacha says, may Yajna protect me from defamation and harm from the populace. So, harm, populace, the people, from the people is an easier word. Yes, for English second language people, people is the word, populace. Now, we'll have a little break. We'll take out our charts, and we'll look at our charts. I'm not going to explain this chart to you, except you can see there are three main categories here at the top. One is Swayam Rupa. That is the original form of Krishna. It's at the very top. Then underneath there is Tad Ekatma Rupa. So this is an expansion. There are two categories, Vilas and Swamsha. And that's where we're in Swamsa today, the Lila avatars. There's a column right under Swamsa. The third group is Avesha Rupa. Sometimes there are overlapping between the groups of Avesha. I think you'll find Pritu in there, and Narada also in Avesha. And you also find them in the Lila avatars. So sometimes there's an overlapping. We're going to be concentrating on the Lila avatars. And if you want to find more information on this, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 20th chapter, starting from verse 165 and going on and on. You'll find all the information, the explanation of this chart. This is Madhya 20, verse 165 and onwards, is the explanation of this chart. So we're concentrating now on Tad Ekatma Rupa, Swamsa, Lila avatars. Yes. Oh, you lost something there? Okay, let me look because I have an original here. Paravyoma. Okay, Paravyoma and Jagat. Okay, I'll look on my. I have the original. Yeah, it's also gone on mine too. So that's how it came. We'll get a copy for you, Mahaman. I have an extra copy. I'll give you after class. And Parvati. Okay. I have two extra copies, so I'll give you. Yeah, it's cut off on mine too, but it's Paravyoma. Paravyoma at the bottom of the page. Okay, so now we'll continue with our incarnations. The next one is verse 13, Rishabdev. Ashtame merudavyam tu nabir jato rukrama dashayan varmadhiranam sarashama namaskitam. The eighth incarnation was King Rishab, son of King Nabi and his wife Merudevi. In this incarnation, the Lord showed the path of perfection, which is followed by those who have fully controlled their senses and who are honored by all orders of life. So Rishabdev appears in fifth canto, preaching to his sons to renounce material happiness for the supreme spiritual happiness of devotional service. Sokyam Tanantam. There is a prayer about Rishabhadev chanted by learned scholars. It goes like this. Who is that mystic yogi who can follow the examples of Lord Rishabhadev even within his mind? Lord Rishabhadev rejected all kinds of yogic perfection which other yogis hanker to attain. Who is that yogi who can compare to Lord Rishabhadev? Narayana Kavacha chants, may Lord Rishabhadev, who conquered his inner and outer senses, protect me from fear produced by the duality of heat and cold. Good prayer for nowadays. From the heat. We can pray to Lord Rishabhadev, protect us from the heat. And when winter comes, from the cold. Pray to Vishibhiryachito beje navamam parativam vapu. Dukte mam osti viprastenayam saushatamaha. O Brahmanas, in the ninth incarnation, the Lord, prayed for by sages, accepted the body of a king, Prithu, who cultivated the land to yield various produces, and for that reason the earth was beautiful and attractive. So Lord Prithu, King Prithu, appears in the fourth canto, born from the dead body of King Vena, and he comes to beautify the earth. He milks the earth in the shape of a cow. And there is no verse by Narayana Kavacha, but there is a prayer. The professional reciters glorify him. The king will be just like an affectionate father to his citizens. He will treat himself as the most obedient servant of the devotees who always preach the glories of the Lord. The king will consider all embodied living entities as dear as his own self, and he will always be increasing the pleasures of his friends. He will intimately associate with liberated persons, and he will be a chastising hand to all impious persons. This is 4:16, verses 17 to 18, Canto 4. Then the next is Matsya. Rupam sajagrihe matsyam chakshusha tatisam bhave navyarupyamahimayam apadvayavasvatam manum. When there is a complete inundation after the period of the chakshusha manu, and the whole world was deep within water, the Lord accepted the form of a fish and protected vayavasvatamanu, keeping him up on a boat. Matsya appears in the eighth canto to save Satyavrata, who becomes vayavasvatamanu. And vayavasvatamanu prays to him in the fifth canto, Om Namo Bhagavate Mukhyatamaya Namasataya Pranaya Jasesa Sebalaya Mahamatsyaya Namamiti. I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is pure transcendence. He is the origin of all life, bodily strength, mental power, and sensory ability. Known as Matsyavatar, gigantic fish, he appears first among all the incarnations. Again, I offer my obeisances to him. So it's easy to guess where, how Matsya is going to protect us. Narayana Kavacha says, May the Lord, who assumes the body of a great fish, protect me in the water from the fierce animals that are associates of the demigod Varuna. So Matsya will protect us in the water. Verse 16. Sarasranam udatim matnatam mandaracharam datve kamatarupena pishtahe karishe vibhu. 11th incarnation of the Lord took the form of a tortoise, whose shell served as a pivot for Mandarachala hill, which was being used as a churning rod by the theists and atheists of the universe. So Prabhupada, in commenting on this verse, says that even the demigods must struggle for existence. He says they don't have to. Of course, the quantity of the work is quite different. The quality of the work might be the same. We may have to work a 9-to-5 job, but they have to work very hard churning the ocean to get what they need, to get their necessities of life, to get Lakshmi Devi, to get the moon, to get all these things. They had to work very hard to churn the ocean of milk. So Narayana Kavacha says, May Lord Kurma, the tortoise, protect me from falling to the unlimited hellish planets, so he can catch us before we go to hell. So we pray. Of course, we don't plan to go there, but anyway, he can protect us from going to hell. Danvantaram dvarashamam tayarishamam evacha apayat sarananyan mahinya mahayanstriya. In the 12th incarnation, the Lord appeared as Danvantari. In the 13th, he allured the atheists by the charming beauty of a woman and gave nectar to the demigods to drink. So there is a verse in the second canto, 7th chapter, about Damantari. It says that Damantari very quickly cures diseases of the ever-diseased living entity simply by his fame personified, and only because of him do the demigods achieve long life. And he also began the medical science in this universe. According to Ayurveda, if you want to be cured from your disease, it's not only the medicine, you must also pray to Vishnu for your cure. Pray to Danvantari, to be exact. Danvantari cures all diseases. Narayana Kavacha says, May the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his incarnation as Danvantari relieve me from undesirable eatables and protect me from physical illness. So this is also very good protection, Danvantari. Mohinimurti appeared in the 8th canto. Of course, Damantri also appeared in the 8th canto. Both of them appeared practically simultaneously, that he was carrying the nectar, and then the demon stole it, and then she came and cheated the demons. So in one sense, actually there's a prayer, there's a verse somewhere in there in the 8th canto that Shukadeva also discusses about Mohinimurti and compares Mohinimurti to Lord Buddha, who also cheated the atheists. Lord Buddha came to cheat, Mohinimurti also came to cheat the demons, and she stole the nectar and gave it to the demigods. And the last verse for today is Lord Nrisimhadev. Chaturasham narasingham vibhadaityandaram chitam dadarakarajaruravairakam katakrityata. In the 14th incarnation, the Lord appeared as Nrisimha and bifurcated the strong body of the atheist Hiranyakashipu with his nails, just as a carpenter pierces cane. So here, normally, we have in the verses of the incarnations, you have the mention of the parents. His father was this, his mother, but no mention of Nrisimhadev's parents, because he's born from a pillar. So therefore, his mother and father's name are not mentioned, Prabhupada says, in Srimad Bhagavatam. He's born from a pillar in Hiranyakashipu's palace. Therefore, we don't have his father's name. But this shows that God is everywhere. There's a very nice prayer to Lord Nrisimhadev in the 5th canto of Bhagavatam by Prahlad. Om namo bhagavate narasingaya namaste jaste jase avira virbhava vajranakam vajranksta karmashayam randaya randaya tamogaskasam sahapayam abayam atmani bhishtam sham. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruit of activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So the prayer to Nrisimhadev is that he comes in our heart and he destroys our materialistic desires. There is one, actually, story about a devotee in Mayapur who had a dream about Lord Nrisimhadev. It was a Mataji, actually. And Lord Nrisimhadev came in her dream, and he actually pierced her heart, and he was taking all black, dirty, disgusting things out of her heart. And she was astonished, to say the least. And then he was saying, and he said to her, "Should I give it back?" She said, "No, that's all right. You take." Anyway, these things happen. But there are many stories about Nrisimhadev in Mayapur. That's only one. But this is a prayer for that exact thing, that he comes and he takes all the demonic desires out from our heart. Narayana Kavacha has actually two verses for Lord Nrisimhadev. May Lord Nrisimhadev, who appeared as the enemy of Hiranyakashipu, protect me in all directions. His loud laughing vibrated in all directions and caused the pregnant wives of the Asuras to have miscarriages. May that Lord be kind enough to protect me in difficult places like the forest and battlefront. Prahlad Maharaj loudly chanted the holy name of Lord Nrisimhadev. May Lord Nrisimhadev, roaring for his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, protect us from all fear of dangers created by stalwart leaders in all directions through poison, weapons, water, fire, air, and so on. So that covers everything. Lord Nrisimhadev. May the Lord cover their influence by his own transcendental influence. May Nrisimhadev protect us in all directions and in all corners, above, below, within, and without. So we'll stop there today. Any questions or comments on these incarnations of Lord Krishna or glorification? Sankirtanas. Cleaning things in the heart. Yes, yeah, so here's another picture. Sometimes you have some very stubborn dirt. You need to scrub very hard. So Lord Nrisimhadev is also helping in that way, to take away our material desires. Yes, driving, just by his presence, he drives away. Actually, that was like Nrisimhananda's picture, maybe because he has the name Nrisimha. Therefore, he's thinking in that way, just like Nrisimha Everything runs away when they see. All demons and material desires run away when they hear the holy name, or when they hear Lord Nrisimhadev, when they see Lord Nrisimhadev or hear his name, they flee in fear in the heart. Any other comments or questions? Now, Parvati. Viratrup. That's what Prabhupada says in the purport. Also Vishwarup too. Vishwarup also. And it, when we study the part in second canto, we'll have a much more description and explanation of Vishwarup. There also, it will say that the impersonalist will have to develop a devotional attitude, actually, to actually see. They have to develop. I mean, in the beginning, they can imagine and they can perceive in that way. But to ultimately, to attain perfection in their meditation, then they have to develop devotional attitude. Prashanta. Yeah, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, it said that. In the third canto, seventh chapter. I should find the exact verse. Maybe a purport also. I have to check it. Third canto, seventh chapter. Vishru comes from Shirdakshai Vishnu. Usually it's Garbhadak, yeah. But yeah, it's very, so we have, I'll get the exact verse. That would be better. Yeah? Okay. What does Prabhupada say? Okay. From him all incarnations. Well, I'll find the exact verse to and be more specific. Okay, Madhavendra Puri. It's a very technical question. And in the purport, Prabhupada said, Kshirdakshai Vishnu. In the verse translation, it says, Garbhadakshai Vishnu. I think I'll go to the original Bhagavatam for this, actually, and see what Prabhupada said in his original. See what he says. Yes, Nishinanda. I should bring it with me to class. Oh, in Brahma Samhita class, this point came up. He uses Garbhadakshai and they're the same person, yeah. Okay, so it's used interchangeably. Shivindavan. Text 15. What's that? Right. Right. Right, they contradict. He puts it there. So what are we supposed to think? In the purport of verse 15, there appears to be some contradiction here between Sridhar Swami and Jiva and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Prabhupada is presenting both sides. But Prabhupada doesn't make any conclusion, but he just presents, this is what this one said, this is what this one said, and he's just leaving it. Just to confuse us, yes. Definite proof. Sridhar Swami, no, Jiva Goswami, she has given definite proofs. There is always a devastation at the end of each and every manu, okay? So we shall accept. Yeah, at the end he says, Prabhupada, the last, his conclusion is, apart from this, the Lord, in order to show special favor in this particular period, incarnated himself. So we just accept. This is the way it is. Sometimes devotees disagree, but they all agree that he came to help Satyavat, and he can also help us. Yes, Shivendam. Yeah, lotus flower comes from Garbhadakshai Vishnu. Right. Right. Lower planets. Fifth canto. Yeah. Right. Yes. Okay. It's interesting that the demons can enjoy more opulence than the demigods. Okay. Why not? Because they're more materialistic. The demigods are devotees, so they're, you know, anyway. I think this is also another technical point that's not so relevant for today's. Yes, Leela Madhuri. High technology. Okay, Mataji is suggesting that in the lower planets there might be more high tech. Whereas in the demigods' planets, there might be more the opulence of natural beauty. And, as you can see on this planet, many people think America is the greatest because of all the high tech. But actually, real beauty or real opulence, Prabhupada said, is grains, silk, cows. But in modern society, who is thinking that this is opulence? Grains, cows. And so this is what we find in the higher planets and higher mentality, higher evolved persons. Whereas you may find actually, yes, more machines and more high tech in the hellish planets. Because, well, anyway, we won't get into that, but yes. Sarabhuta Prabhu. Hellish and Patalas. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes, it's lower, but it's not hellish. Because it's lower, there's no light in the lower planets. They're lit by the jewels on the heads of the... There's no sunlight. So everything is day and night. Everything's artificial there. You can't have real day, you can't have real night without sunlight. So they may have a very beautiful place, but if you're in the dark, it's not very enjoyable. Yes? Text 7. Okay, we have a few more questions. Do you need to set up, Madhavendrapuri? Do you need time to set up? Or you're okay? Okay. Okay, we'll take your question. Pluto. What does this Pluto mean? Yes. Yeah, Plutonic. The meaning of Pluto means hellish or lower. There is actually, if anyone knows really good English, then Pluto is it means like hellish or lower. That's all I know. There's probably a story behind it, which I can't remember from my days. Greek mythology, yes, okay, that's it. He's the lord of the underworld. You remember? Vyamarash. Yeah, that's a different Plutonic region. Yeah, it's close. His place is also different from this place, from Patala. He doesn't live in Patala. He has another place. Lord Kapila is the foremost amongst perfected beings. The question is, Lord Kapila is referred to as the most foremost among perfected beings. Also in Bhagavad Gita, he's also in some category. Actually, I think we can trace this to Bhagavad Gita. We should look into Sanskrit. Does anybody have a Bhagavad Gita? Because there in the Sanskrit, there's different kinds of sages. There's Rajarshi, there's this Rishi, there's that Devarshi, there's different kinds of sages. So in Bhagavad Gita, I remember in the Sanskrit, it tells that, thank you, he's a certain type of sage. Now, which verse is it here in Bhagavatam? Verse 10. Okay. Siddha. He's a Siddha, okay? Here it's called foremost amongst the perfect. So, Siddhas. Kapila. Kapila is a Siddha. And in Bhagavad Gita, he's also described, Krishna says, I am Kapila. I don't know exactly which verse now to look. In the 10th chapter, he is Kapila. Anybody know the verse? What's that? Here we are. I got it. It's 26. Kapila Muni. Siddhanam. Same thing. He's a Siddha. So Bhagavatam and Gita agree here. Siddha. This is 10:26. Again, Gita. Among the perfect living beings, Siddha. So Prabhupada often talked about the Siddhas. That they are yogis who can fly. They have all perfections of mystic powers. There is a Siddha Loka. So it would refer to this because in the Sanskrit it says Siddha. And this is a specific term, I would believe, that's referring to these Siddhas who inhabit Siddha Loka. Prabhupada says they're born with all eight mystic perfections. So he's the leader of the Siddhas who go to Siddha Loka. Perfected beings. So these are perfected beings. They perform the Ashtanga Yoga process to attain Siddhi, Yoga Siddhi. There's different kinds of Siddhi. There's Anyway, this Yoga City, this is what they are aiming for, Yoga City. Okay, this is the last one, then they have to do their... Text 10. Asuri Brahmana. Yeah, I'm not familiar with this pastime where Kapila spoke to Asuri Brahmana. All that I know about is Devahuti. It could be another kalpa, if Gopi Pranadana says, as he says, Asuri Brahmana. And that could be a question we could ask him also on Saturday, okay?